Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Governor Charlie Baker has until midnight tonight to decide whether he's going to sign a controversial bill that requires health insurers to cover long-term antibiotic treatment for Lyme disease. Similar mandates have passed in other New England states, but Governor Baker has questioned whether long-term antibiotics are clinically acceptable treatment. Joining us to talk about this is Carrie Goldberg. She's editor of WBUR's Common Health blog. Hello there, Carrie.
Hello, Deb, and thank you. I'm glad to be discussing this right now because it gives me a chance to note, as I do annually, that we're right in the middle of peak Lyme disease season now. So do take precautions against the deer ticks that carry it. Do tick checks, use insect repellent. You know, we here in Massachusetts, we have a real hotbed of Lyme disease. Thousands and probably tens of thousands of us catch it every year.
But it's not just health right now. We're talking about a political issue.
Right. It has gone political. So what's happened is the legislature has passed a bill, and they resoundingly passed it, by the way, that is what's called a health insurance mandate. It requires that health insurers cover something. And in this case, what it requires is coverage of long-term antibiotic treatments and other experimental treatments for Lyme disease. And this would make us the third state to pass a measure like this, along with Connecticut and Rhode Island.
And Governor Baker at this point has suggested he opposes this.
Yes. Let's recall he used to be a health insurer himself. He was the head of Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. But he's also seeing major opposition, not just from health insurers, but also from infectious disease and other medical specialists.
And tell us why this long-term antibiotic treatment for Lyme is controversial.
Well, so first of all, let me say short-term antibiotics for Lyme disease are not controversial. You know, most of us, we get diagnosed with Lyme, we take 3 or so weeks of antibiotics and we're done. But some people either don't get diagnosed quickly or the treatment just doesn't seem to cure them, and they end up with long-term symptoms like fatigue, joint pain, brain fog. So forget treatment for a second. Even what to call them is controversial. Like, do you call them having chronic Lyme disease or quote-unquote post-treatment Lyme disease syndrome? And then how to treat them is without question one of the most contentious areas of medicine. I think it's the most controversial area I've ever encountered. So on one side, you have mainstream infectious disease specialists. Their organization is the IDSA, the Infectious Disease Society of America. And they're saying very vehemently that studies show that long-term antibiotics don't help the patients and they're likely to do more harm than good. And, you know, these are very powerful drugs. They can cause infections and other problems in the patients themselves. And also, they contribute to this huge global problem of overusing antibiotics, which is leading to the development of drug-resistant superbugs.
But you do have Lyme patients and advocates who say that these long-term antibiotics do work.
Right. And also some specialists. And this side has a real champion in the state legislature. He's Representative David Linsky, a Natick Democrat whose son had long-term Lyme disease symptoms, and he led a legislative panel on Lyme disease. He says long-term antibiotics really helped his son, and that without insurance coverage, that sort of treatment can cost $50,000 or $60,000 or more out of pocket.
Ooh. But if we do then require insurers to cover this, how much would it cost every premium holder?
Actually, not that much. The State Center for Health Information and Analysis crunched the numbers back in 2014, and they found that covering long-term antibiotics for Lyme would probably only add at most maybe 13 cents on average to an annual premium.
So not bad.
So not bad, not for your insurance bill, but health insurers point out that a mandate like this, first of all, it only even applies to about 40% of insured people, because if you work for a company that self-insures or you have federal insurance, doesn't apply. But, you know, Deb, I think the really notable moment here is that this is a political move in the midst of a really dramatic medical controversy. It's so dramatic, some people call it the Lyme Wars. And dozens of infectious disease and other specialists signed a letter to Governor Baker saying that this mandate would conflict with sound evidence-based care. It could be dangerous for patients. So Baker tried to amend the measure so that the mandate would apply only if you had a specialist like a rheumatologist or a neurologist or an infectious disease doctor recommend the antibiotics. But the legislature said, uh-uh, and they restored the original language.
And so that's why we know that at this point the governor has suggested that he is opposed. So what would you say then is the crux of this conflict at this point, Karen?
Well, you know, I mean, it's clear that it's a disagreement over whether long-term antibiotics help patients. But I'd say at a slightly deeper level, the conflict is over whether it's possible that the bacterium that causes Lyme, which is called Borrelia burgdorferi, might persist in some patients' bodies but not be detectable using the tools that we have. Or is it just that some patients are having an immune response that lasts a long time after the bacteria are actually gone? So I spoke with Dr. Harriet Katsouris. She's the chief scientific officer for the Global Lyme Alliance. And she says there's growing momentum for research to try to pin down this persistent infection, if in fact there is one.
If we can definitively prove that a persistent infection exists with or without an immune system problem, then the issue will be moot and we can move on from the controversies that have fallen upon us for the last 30, 40 years.
So these have been very long Lyme wars, actually. She also says that there's more work underway to try to figure out what are the best antibiotic regimes to fight Lyme.
Okay, Carrie Goldberg, editor of WBUR's Common Health blog, thanks so much.
You're welcome.